Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. I'm always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I got to spend some time today with a friend who's walked through something that no one really should ever have to endure. 2 years ago, around this time of year, her young adult daughter died of pancreatic cancer. It was a Friday. The very next week, also on a Friday, her husband died of brain cancer. You know, we all know that the enemy fights dirty and he kicks us when we're down. But I have watched this girl emerge out of the ashes of her pain, discerning the lies that have hurt her and deciding to believe the truths that will set her free. She's so brave and beautiful. And it just was amazing to spend time with her as I was prepping for today's show. The title of today's book is You Are More Than You've Been Told. Unlock a Fresh Way to Live Through the Rhythms of Jesus by Hosanna Wong. And if you've listened, you know we've had Jamie Winship on a number of times talking about the God-given identity imprinted on our heart. One of Hosanna's chapters is, what names have you been answering to? We're going to get to that in a little bit, but that's my question for you. You know, I always like to ask a question to have you engage with me, and you know it's my love language when you text me on during the show, so I'm asking you, you got to engage with me here. What name have you answered to that you know is not from God? Maybe it's not enough. Maybe it's a disappointment. Remember, Jamie Winship said that was his false identity. He just realized he believed it until God set him free. Disappointment, not enough, that you're a bother, that you're outside the circle. What name have you answered to? You know, maybe there's been this, as my friend Maria says, a pattern of theft in your life, and you've believed the lies that you picked up when life lets you down. Would you share? I want you to share because I want other friends to know that they're not alone. Text me, 877-933-2484. What names have you been answering to that are not yours, that are not from God? You know, a friend once said, life has a way of lifing you. And it's just true. We all endure hardships at varying levels, and it's why we continually need healing and reminders of what's true in the world, where truth is so hard to find. When you encounter loss, pain, hardship, it does change you in some ways, but it never changes your worth. In fact, Hosanna writes this, the enemy cannot change who we are. He doesn't have that kind of power. His best plan is to make us doubt who we are. Again, Hosanna Wong joins me today to share from her book, You Are More Than You've Been Told. Unlock a fresh way to live through the rhythms of Jesus. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. A quick announcement that I'm super excited about. Today is the first day of a major campaign this month. My publisher is partnering with Faith Radio, and we are giving 100 copies away of my brand new book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need Him most? He's closer than your next breath. I'm so grateful. 100 copies. So you can register to win, and I think you got a pretty good chance of winning. Go to myfaithradio.com. And also, even if you don't want to register for that, I recorded a good handful of audios for those who just need a fresh reminder that God loves you, that He knows your name, that He's with you. If you long to encounter God's presence on a deeper level, you can text the word closer and you'll receive a series of texts, about 3 a week for the next month, that are audios from me. Sometimes I'm praying for you, just sharing some thoughts from the book. Love to hear from you. You can text the word closer to 877-933-2484. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Hosanna Wong is an international speaker, best-selling author, and a spoken word artist, helping everyday people know Jesus for real and live with a purpose. Widely known for her spoken word piece, I Have a New Name, Hosanna preaches and performs in churches, conferences, prisons, and other events around the world, reaching across various denominations, backgrounds, and cultures. Born and raised in an urban ministry on the streets of San Francisco, Hosanna currently serves on teaching teams at churches throughout the U.S. She and her husband, Guy, serve in various ministries, equipping the local and global church with tools to share the gospel of Jesus in today's world. Hosanna, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm blessed to be with you all.
Looking forward to this conversation. Before we get into the content from your book and even your backstory, I would love to know, what has the Lord been impressing upon your heart these days?
There's a verse that I've never fully understood that I heard a lot growing up that has fresh, kind of a fresh take to me these days, a new lens. And it's Luke 14:34, when Jesus says, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored?" And I think that's a good question, because some of us might have followed Jesus for a long time, but might feel like perhaps we've lost our flavor. And Eugene Peterson writes about this, and he says this so beautifully. He says, "The answer to Jesus's question is simple. How can saltiness be restored? It can't. You have to go back to the salt mines. You have to dig some fresh salt." And so that's kind of something that I've been marinating on and thinking about. God, would you help me not rely on, you know, the schedules or routines that I had years ago, or the ways I used to encounter you years ago, but God, I want fresh salt. I want a fresh wind. I want a fresh fire, and to encounter you in a real way in my real life today.
That is brilliant. Thank you for that. That's why we asked the question. I feel like I just got some fresh revelation as you're sharing. That's wonderful. I would love some backstory on your journey, your childhood, and then how you came to Christ.
Yeah, I grew up on the streets of San Francisco. My dad was a heroin addict for 15 years. He fought in a gang, and someone introduced him to Jesus, and Jesus changed his whole life. And my dad ended up starting an outreach to those living without homes and battling with addiction on the streets of San Francisco. And that's how I grew up. We had outdoor church 3 days a week with our friends on the streets. People brought their bottles, people brought their needles. That's how I learned church. I learned later in life when other people said they were also raised in church. We weren't talking about the exact same thing.
But wow.
That is where I learned that Jesus could save anyone's soul and redeem anyone's story, and would use anyone who would say yes. And that's also how I learned the art of spoken word poetry. All my friends on the streets did it. And so I think I knew about God very early, but it probably wasn't until my dad got cancer and passed away when I was 18, when I started a journey of discovering who God was to me for real. I knew of God. I was, you know, I loved God as much as I knew him, but I don't think that I knew him so personally until after that point in my life. So as I struggled with just losing my dad and finding my identity and a lot of the wrong things, I eventually came back to a place where I knew I needed to know Jesus for real for myself. So it was probably the following years between 18 and 21 when I started realizing who Jesus really was, and probably fully gave my life to him during that period of time, not as a inheritance passed down from my dad, but as a choice on my own to know God for real. So that's a little bit of my background in the church I'm from.
It was interesting. You said that you and your brother had witnessed murders as a child and people getting beaten up and shooting up. And I can't even imagine what that was like for you. On one hand, I'm sure it toughened you to be able to go into rough places and minister where most people are afraid. But I would love to know, you know, how did you sort through some of the things you saw? I mean, still, I would imagine that's trauma for you.
Yeah. The first time I saw someone murdered in front of me, I was 9, and my baby brother was 3.
Wow.
And I tried to shield his eyes and I didn't do it in time. There was quite a bit of guilt that started from a young age of, I couldn't do more. I couldn't help more. I couldn't shield my brother's eyes in time or get him out of other painful situations. And I think some of us might grow up with this sense of guilt or protectiveness over our kids, our little brother, our little sister, our loved ones. And when someone in our life is hurt and we can't help them, it could really spiral us into a spiral of shame or a savior complex, thinking we have to do everything for everyone and it's all on us to save the world. And I think that there was a lot of trauma that I thought I was, you know, responsible to get other people out of. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older where I realized I need to heal from some of these wounds too. I need to, you know, talk with my pastor, Christian counselor, and really just be healed of some of the lies I believed and some of the traumas that I witnessed that I needed some healing in. And so I think that happens to a lot of us. Sometimes it's easier to try to help other people than realize that we might need some healing ourselves. But over time, I've learned that if we don't allow God in to transform our hurt, we will transfer our hurt. So yeah. It is actually good for us and the people around us that we also deal with the wounds in our lives. So yeah, it was a different childhood. I mean, I didn't know that till I got older and found out other people didn't also have that childhood. Mm-hmm. So as I became an adult, I realized, yeah, Lord, I'd like to bring you into all the places in my life and help you heal me and learn who I really am and your views on all of this.
Mm. Did those things happen when your dad was a heroin addict or when he was ministering to heroin addicts?
No, when my dad was alive and when he was ministering. Yeah, when he was ministering. We had an outdoor church, and a lot of these things happened during our outdoor church services. And we also were very loved and defended. Like, there were fights on the streets, and if it happened to any of us, if my dad got punched, if my mom got pushed, a lot of our friends living on the streets would come in and defend us. So we also weren't alone because we served there for, you know, years, decades. So they knew us we were loved, but also we did real life there. So there was everything that they went through, we went through with them, and God must have protected us because, you know, we're okay. Wow. We're good, but we were blessed. I see now as an adult that I was so blessed to have been raised by a recovered addict because I knew every day of my childhood that Jesus was real because I saw what Jesus could do. And I'm blessed to have been raised in the unique church environment I was raised in because it was always about people knowing Jesus, the simple gospel, people being healed and set free and restored. And as I've gotten older, I realized that not everyone sees Jesus that way. And I'm blessed that in my childhood as a young girl, I knew how important it was that everyone knew who Jesus was. So I think I'm more thankful for it now than ever.
That's amazing. As we go to break, I ask the question, what names have you answered to? And this dear one says, the name I've been answering to is you aren't smart enough to do that. And friend, I pray you know that that is not true. And let's discern what God would say to you, that he's equipped you to be more than a conqueror. He's equipped you for everything he's called you to. Wow, this one makes me sad. Some names I've answered to that God did not give me, lazy and worthless, absolutely lies from the pit. And this is why I'm asking this question. We're going to disentangle today from the lies we picked up and the labels we picked up when life let us down. And this one says that they've... Let's see here. No good change stays. Been wrestling with this negative force. Here it comes again with all the fears and doubts, questions and unanswered prayers. And again, that's a lie. No good change stays. By the grace of God, he pursues me always towards and points me in the right direction. Amen, amen. So what names have you answered by that are not from God? Would you share? Text me 877-933-2484. Hosanna Wong joins me today. Her book, You Are More Than You've Been Told, Unlock a Fresh Way to Live Through the Rhythms of Jesus. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. I've asked you the question, what name are you answering to? That is the title of one of the chapters of my guest book today. Hosanna Wong is her name, her book, You Are More Than You've Been Told. And by the end of this show, I want you to believe with all your heart that you actually are more than you've been told. Unlock a fresh way to live through the rhythms of Jesus. Text me and tell me about the name that you've answered to that you just know it is not from God. This dear listener just didn't want to answer that question, but they did say, wow, what a beautiful name, Hosanna. Totally agree. This one says failure, screw up. And I want you to picture those banners on you, and I want you to picture yourself grabbing them and throwing them to the ground. And Hosanna's going to talk to us about how to disentangle and break up with these names, all right? And if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. This one breaks my heart, Hosanna, so I'm going to have you speak to it, maybe pray for this dear one. This one says that her husband calls her a loser, worthless, and stupid. All lies. God has helped me. I know he loves me. Also, growing up, thinking and feeling like I was a mistake. What do you say to Lisa?
Lisa, I am so sorry that you've been told lies about yourself. I am so sorry that other people are speaking to you out of their own broken lens of themselves. And what I want to encourage you in today is that when you fight to spend real time with God and to read what He says about you, you will start to see yourself through God's lens, and you will start to see yourself for who you really are and who you've always been. But those people who say those words to you that are not true, they have no right to name you. And so I just want to pray over you, Lisa, and over the people in your life who are broken and are speaking lies to you. And I would just pray right now, God, for Lisa, that you would just heal her heart, God, that you would come and be so close, that you would hold these wounds that she holds so tenderly, God, and that you would remind her today who she really is as we have a discussion today about the things that you tell us we are, the names you call us. I pray that there are specific truths that come to mind for Lisa that are instilled in her heart today. And I also pray, God, just for clarity, God, would you be so kind to be clear, God, to show her the ways to reconnect with you and to draw closer to you, as well as, God, would you heal her hurts, and would you just give her a fresh breath and a fresh wind today, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, and for all these others that are texting in really wretched, wretched lies that they've worn for a long time. And Lord, as Hosanna said, we just pray that you'd breathe breath of God on these dear people, and they would see these labels, these banners coming off of them one by one, and they would sense your presence, they would encounter your love, and they would choose to believe today that they literally are the object of your affection. Thank you, Father, that you're a loving God, and thank you for Hosanna's message, and we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosanna, in the book, go ahead, please, go ahead.
No, amen. I was just agreeing. Amen.
I'll take an amen any day. I love it. You said this in the book, no one has the power to define you but the one who created you. How did you learn that how did that start to feel true? And how did you come to believe that's actually true?
Well, there was a season in my life where I lost who I was. I was letting myself be defined by the opinions of people and the circumstances around me. I can resonate with the listeners that are texting in these old names, these names that are not true of ourselves, and yet sometimes they have felt true. Sometimes we've heard them so often that we have thought, maybe I am unworthy, worthless, not good enough, unwanted. Maybe that is who I am. And what we believe about ourselves determines how we live. So if we believe we're not enough, we will live like we're not enough. We'll start trying to change who we are in order to be more loved, or try to work harder or produce more or overextend ourselves in order to prove that we're valuable. If we believe that we're a burden to be loved, we might isolate ourselves. We might feel like if we got real with anybody about what we're going through, then we'll be annoying. Or when we have big dreams, we don't want to tell anybody or ask for help. Or when we have prayer requests, we don't want to ask anyone for prayer because we've decided that we're a burden to be loved. If we believe that we're a failure, we'll start living like we are. We'll believe that anything we start or try or do will eventually shatter to pieces, that we'll always make the same mistakes we once did. Sometimes we won't even obey what we feel God is calling us to do because we've decided we're a failure. And the enemy hopes that we believe each and every one of these lies. He hopes that we answer to lesser names so that we live lesser lives, because he knows how valuable our life is and how important our choices are. So he's on this whole mission to make sure we don't find out too, because he knows if we discovered how loved we are, how chosen we are, how safe in the hands of God we are, we would start living like we are.
Come on, and somebody. Somebody's got to text me an amen. I'm sorry. I'm in my studio. Arms are in the air. Sorry, you're on a roll. I've got the holy goosebumps. Somebody got to text me amen, because you're so right. I often say his threat against us is very connected to our threat to him. And I'm so sorry I jumped in. I was getting totally fired.
No, amen. No, I love that. I love that. I've never heard that, but I love that. I just want somebody listening today to know that if you've ever struggled with knowing who you are, you're not crazy. You have been told lies your whole life. You are in the middle of an age-old war. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to know who you really are. And so for me, I was at a place where I was listening to all the wrong names. So I was living the wrong life. And all these lies were like a ceiling over my life, stopping me from living the life I was created to live. And so I just want our listeners to know that you're not alone. We are all in this battle together. But God knew that we would hear lies our whole lives. So he sent a solution. He sent his son Jesus to come and be with us, to share in our human experience, and to show us how a human can live on our earth and how a human can know who we really are and live the life we've been created to live. And Jesus is going to show us a better way to live where we can know who we are no matter what.
Come on, somebody. I'm getting all kinds of amens in here. And you can't believe the restraint it takes on radio. Like, if you were on stage, it would be totally appropriate for me to jump up and say hallelujah. But I got to sit here like a good girl, let you have the space so I'm not interrupting you. But girl, amen. Though, dear listener who texted in about the wretched, terrible things her husband had said to her, she wrote back and said, God's been teaching me this. He wakes me up singing songs over me. I can feel his love. Listening to your show and doing Bible study has blessed me. Thank you, Lord, and praise God. Praise God. I mean, there's a number of people come texting in. Amen, amen. Thank you for this message, sister. I needed this today. Thank you, thank you. Oh, it's a ticker tape parade. I wish you could see it. So many people are resonating with what you're saying. And I got to read this. This is from Hosanna's book. Satan's strategy has not changed. You are hearing the same doubts he used to try to take down all of humanity and Jesus himself. So yes, there's someone fighting against you. There are voices constantly surrounding you that contradict the voice of God. There are lies about your worth competing for your attention. There are constant temptations to prove your value to other people. But there's also hope. There is a way to defeat the lies of the enemy today. We've got about a minute and a half before our heartbreak at the bottom. Give us a little glimpse of how you do that, because so many are writing in and talking about they've been living with these lies. They love Jesus, but they're bound by the lies. So how can they take their first steps?
Yeah, I'll give you a little sneak preview of what we're going to talk about after the break. But I was in a season where I knew that the answer that people would give me in church was that my identity is in Christ. But I didn't know how to do that. And I would hear people say, your identity is in Christ and you find your identity by abiding in Christ. And I thought, great, yes, I'm in, sign me up. But how do I do that? And I needed practical tools. I needed practical steps. I'm a hands raised, hopes up kind of girl, but more than anything, I'm a hands-on kind of girl. So I have set out to find out how to follow Jesus for the rest of us. How can we find our identity in Christ practically? How can we abide in Christ practically? And the answer might surprise you.
Come on. All right. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Hosanna Wong is my guest today, and I'm going to have you back. Based on all the texts coming in, people are loving this message and resonating, and I'm so grateful because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. He came to destroy the works of the devil in your life. In fact, on the other side, too, we're going to unpack John 10:10 because you may know the verse, but I want you to hear it in Technicolor, in loud and clear, right? Stereo. Hosanna's book is You Are More Than You've Been Told. So whatever you've been told, even if you were raised in a solid Christian family and you heard, you know, words of love and affirmation, that's the rarity, but it's if it's true, God bless you. You're still more than you've been told. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to spoken word artist, best-selling author, Hosanna Wong. Her book is You Are More Than You've Been Told, Unlock a Fresh Way to Live Through the Rhythms of Jesus. And I've asked you to text in and tell me what names have you been answering to that you know are not from God, and they've been lazy, worthless, not worth marrying, not worth loving, not enough. And it is amazing. We can love Jesus, worship him, and still put up with these labels and these lies. We walk around, that we wonder why our joy is diminished, that we don't have strength or energy or a sense of purpose. It's because these are like parasites sucking the life out of us. And the goal and the prayer for today's show is that you rip those things off, you put them under your feet, you walk in the freedom that Jesus paid a high price for, you get comfortable in your own skin because Jesus loves how he made you, you bear his image, and then you start walking out your purpose in a way that the devil will hate and the heavens will rejoice over you. Because God wants so much for us to live as ones who are spoken for. This dear listener wrote in, I learned about 8 years ago who I am. I'm holy, righteous, redeemed, alive. I'm his. It's changed my life. It saddens me to see so many who claim to be Christians but don't know the truth. It's so freeing. Praise God. Amen. All right, Hosanna, you talked about practicality. How do we break free from the lie and walk free so that we can know the fullness of who God created us to be?
I set out to discover what it meant for my identity to be in Christ and what it practically looked like to abide in Christ. And we know this from John 15. Jesus himself says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but abide in me and you will bear great fruit. So we know that Jesus calls himself a vine and he calls us branches. And as I was trying to figure out what that meant for my practical life today, I called a friend of mine who works in vineyards, and she was not familiar with the scripture. And so I knew that she wasn't going to give me some answer she thought I wanted, but she was going to give me an agricultural answer. And I asked her, is there anything else you can tell me about the relationship with a branch and a vine? Is all the branch needs to live to be connected to the vine? And she said this to me. She said, technically, yes, all the branches need to live is to be connected to the vine, but really they need a trellis. Really, they need a structure that helps them stay connected to the vine. It helps them get even sunlight so they're not too cold, not too warm. It helps them not get rot. Really, they need a trellis. And I said, okay, but what if I don't care about flourishing? Like, what if I just want to live? All branches need to live is just to be connected to the vine, right? It's okay if they don't have a trellis. And she said this to me, and I'll never forget it. She said, technically, yes, all that branches need to live is to be connected to the vine. But without a trellis, without a structure, they will live their lives constantly weighed down. They will carry weights they were not meant to carry, and they will fight an uphill battle they don't have to fight. Eventually, wow. The branches will grow apart from themselves, and then they will grow apart from the vine. And I realized that I was carrying weights I was not meant to carry. I was fighting an uphill battle I was not intended to fight. And here I am thinking, how can I be connected to Jesus and stay connected to Jesus? It turns out the answer might be a structure. I might need to reclaim my life by reclaiming my structure. I might not be in Jesus, stay connected to Jesus on autopilot. It might take a structure. And I was thinking about the things that could help me with a structure, the rhythms that I can have in my life to rest in the presence of God and to know God and to engage with God's word. I was thinking about the practices, the spiritual disciplines that I grew up knowing about. But the problem was that when I learned about these spiritual disciplines, reading the word of God, praying, I learned about them a little bit wrong. I learned that your salvation was found in the spiritual disciplines, that your salvation was found in the rhythms. And that is absolutely not true. There is no structure. There is no salvation in the structure. There's only salvation in the source of life himself, Jesus Christ. So if you grew up in a community that put all the emphasis on the spiritual disciplines, of course, maybe we've dismissed them once we realize that salvation came from our faith in Jesus Christ alone. But the truth is that there is no salvation in the structure. There's only life in the source, Jesus Christ. But the structure helps you stay connected to Jesus. And so I started studying the rhythms of Jesus. I figured if I wanted to have a new structure or a new lifestyle, I would look at the lifestyle of Jesus himself. How did Jesus live in private so he was able to be who he was and live as he was created to live in public? And as I've studied the rhythms of Jesus, there are four that I could highlight today, and we could even pick one to maybe simmer on a little bit longer. But there are four rhythms of Jesus that I started to implement into my life's structure. And over time, I stopped carrying weights I wasn't meant to carry, and I became more connected to Jesus himself.
I love this. Keep going. Touch on all four if you don't mind.
The four rhythms that we get from Jesus's life himself, how he lived, because if we are called to follow Jesus, we're called to follow the way he lived, his lifestyle. One is a rhythm of scripture, going out of your way to engage in God's word. Jesus shows us a pattern of him going out of his way to be in a temple, to read the scrolls, to what was written of the Bible at that time, to know what God says about him. And for many of us, we might have read the Bible for a long time, but maybe we have felt like we're not getting anything out of it, or our routine has started to feel stale, mundane, or routine. And we might need a fresh way, fresh salt, a fresh way to engage in God's words. It might be a new translation. It might be a new reader's Bible or a new devotional. It might be reading the word of God at a different time of day than you used to. You might need to listen to it on audiobook while you walk or engage in community, doing a Bible study or a devotional with a friend. But it is worth us taking a self audit of our life and thinking, am I truly engaging with God's word? Because the answer to what should I do? I don't understand my translation and I try to read the Bible longer and faster, but I don't get anything out of it is not, okay, keep reading that translation and just read faster and longer. No, it's okay. The point is not just to read the Bible. The point is to engage with what God says about you, so you know who you are and who he is too. So how can you go out of your way like Jesus did to engage with what God says about you?
That's so good. Pete Grieg has been on before, and he's the founder, and you hear the voice on Lectio 365, and just felt prompted to mention that. We've covered that before, but if you need an app that has just got such a sacred practice of morning and evening devotionals, they're about 5 minutes long, but they're stunning, and he'll pause and walk through scripture, and it just gives you some direction. I just felt like I needed to say that for somebody who needs a fresh look. I love that you're saying that. Don't give up on the word, and don't grind harder like, you know, keep doing the same thing, but keep it fresh. So I think that's beautiful. Okay, number two.
A rhythm of prayer. Prayer is interesting because some of us pray all the time. We conversationally just talk to God casually throughout the day, and that's good. But we are also called to other rhythms of prayer. And the three that I break down in my book is solitude, going out of your way to be alone with God, specific prayers, praying very specific prayers to invite God into specific wounds and specific memories of your childhood so God can come in and heal those memories and heal those wounds. And third, saying thanks. Three practical ways and rhythms to engage in to get fresh salt and a fresh wind in your prayer life. And I could talk all day about how some of those rhythms have transformed my life, but I'd be interested in which of these four rhythms you'd like to maybe spend more time on. The third rhythm is a rhythm of rest. And this one has been very hard for me because I've spent most of my life not resting, believing I have to do more, work harder, get ahead and achieve in order to find my value. And God commands a rhythm of rest. And then Jesus demonstrates a rhythm of rest. He says not to worship it, but to plan for it. And the Sabbath is 24 hours where we are called to rest, to not get ahead, to stop doing, to stop working, and to delight in God and worship him. And yet I've never taken that seriously because everyone that I knew that practiced Sabbath or talked about Sabbath had rhythms I could not possibly achieve and had one day a week. And they always did it the same exact hours and everyone in their family did it together. And since me and my husband don't have the same schedule and our weeks are not all created equal, and I just figured I can't do that. So I never even tried to engage in this rhythm. And I have lived my life disobedient to God and the way he's called me to live by ignoring a rhythm of rest. So I had to figure out how to rest in my own real life. And for me and my husband, it looks like at the beginning of every month, we look at what that month brings, because not every month is created equal. Not every week is the same. Me and my husband don't have the same jobs, but we look at the top of the month and we think, okay, what am I doing this week, this week, this week? and we plan this day. This week is when we're going to Sabbath together and rest. Okay, the next week, it's actually a different day because of traveling and commitments and church things. Okay, the third week, it's a different day. We've created a structure in our lives that might not look like your structure. It might not look like any of our listener structures, but we've created a plan, a structure so that we stay connected to God and we live the lives He's created us to live. And so the third rhythm is a rhythm of rest. And Jesus will show you many examples throughout His life of how He did that. And then fourth is a rhythm of real community. And I don't mean community like having the same group of best friends for 30 years and you all live in the same neighborhood and wear the same clothes and you can share jeans. Yeah, sure, maybe that's all what we all dreamed of. But who on earth has that? None of my friends I grew up with live in the same city as me. And it has been very hard to find community with the idea of what I thought community was supposed to look like. But instead, I'm encouraging us to find real community, godly community, through two rhythms that Jesus exemplified: confession and celebration. Having a rhythm of getting honest with God and with the people around you with what you're really going through and what you're really carrying. Doesn't have to be everybody, doesn't have to be your social media, but maybe it's a trusted person or a couple of trusted people. And then also a rhythm of celebration. Celebration is actually a command from God and a rhythm of Jesus. And yet so often, many Christ followers dismiss it as if that cannot possibly be holy, but it is something that we're commanded to do and that Jesus shows us. He goes out of His way often to celebrate people and what God is doing in their lives, weddings, dinners. There was a rhythm. In fact, at the end of all of this, when we're with God in heaven together, it's described as a celebration. And so when we celebrate with people here on earth, we are literally practicing heaven. Of course, the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to celebrate or stop to worship God. So these four rhythms, a rhythm of scripture and prayer and rest and community, might not look like for me what they look like for you. The point is not to compare your relationship with Jesus to anybody else's relationship with Jesus. The point is for you in your real life to get connected and stay connected to the source of life. And you will know who you really are when you spend real time with the one who knows you the best.
Wow. So powerful and so practical. Thank you. We're going to come back. I'd love for you to share about a time in your story. So you were well into just following Jesus. You're, you know, seasoned following Him, serving Him. And you went through a major betrayal and kind of upended your life. And you're sitting on the couch. I think you were, I don't know if you're watching Netflix or what we were doing, but you were sunk and you received an unexpected phone call. And I want to know what happened and how you navigated through that time. Hosanna Wong is my guest. I absolutely love her. And I see so many texts coming in from people who love you. They just love this conversation, love your heart. Hosanna Wong is my guest. You are more than you've been told. Unlock a fresh way to live through the rhythms of Jesus. And maybe you've heard the scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you have life and life to the fullest, life abundantly. What does that really mean? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break as well. We'll be back in a minute. If you listen to me often enough, you know I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. I am passionate about prayer, and we all need it. And we would love to pray for you. The Faith Radio team, we're serious about prayer, and we pray for specific listener requests every single week. So if you have a request, if you're walking through a difficult time, you can share your prayer request with us anonymously and securely on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Hosanna Wong today about her really amazing book, You Are More Than You've Been Told. We've got a handful of copies to give away. If you're ready to shed some of the lies that you picked up when life let you down, some of the labels you've been wearing as a Christ follower because they feel true, but they're not from God, today is the day. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And just want to remind you, I recorded about 15 short audio pieces, or about 3 minutes long, on the presence of God. I loved doing it. Sometimes I'm just praying for you. Other times I'm just hoping to grab your chin and tilt you, your gaze upward at the Lord so you can look above your circumstances and encounter God in a fresh way. If you want to receive those texts, that's about 3 texts a week for about the next 4 weeks. Just text the word closer to 877-933-2484. And this is what Hosanna writes from her book, You Are More Than You've Been Told. She says, the enemy longs to steal our childhood, kill our confidence, and destroy our relationships. But Jesus came to give us lives that are more than anything we've imagined, surging with super added peace and joy and healing and wholeness. Here's what I know today. If the enemy came to steal, Jesus has come to reclaim. If the enemy has come to kill, Jesus has come to bring life again. If the enemy has come to destroy, Jesus has come to rebuild, renew, and restore his name. Amen, amen. Before we get into that season of life, I would love for you to unpack John 10:10 because I loved how you did that in the book.
Yeah, we know this verse. Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give an abundant life or a full life. And that word abundant comes from a Greek word, petisos, which literally means over the top, excessive, super added. So if you imagine going to get frozen yogurt and you get some toppings and then you get some more, and now it's overflowing over the top. Jesus was saying that the thief comes to take from you, but I've come to restore what's been taken as well as give you more than you've ever imagined. And that is the life that God wants for us. Everything God asks from you is because of something he wants for you. And so it is this beautiful reminder of the life that is available to us in Jesus Christ.
Wow. So I just want you to think about that friend again, you know, to ponder and memorize John 10:10, and then take that word, the abundant or a rich and satisfying life. It means excessive, beyond what's anticipated, more than enough, and super added. Have you experienced that in the Lord in any area of your life, the super added abundance beyond what you'd expected? And if not, I pray that you would dare to develop a lifestyle of expectancy and cultivate a heart that dares to believe God wants to redeem and restore your story in a way you never saw coming, because that's who he is. It's what he does. Okay, Hosanna, as much as you're comfortable telling us about the time, and I love that you did this because we don't want people ever to think that once we're all in for Jesus, that the target on her back has somehow shrunk. It's the opposite, and you got hit pretty hard. As much as you feel like sharing, would you tell us what happened?
Yeah, we had a season of immense loss, my husband and I, probably one of the most painful seasons of our marriage. We had so much loss financially, relationally, physically. The people who I thought would stay didn't. The people who we thought would defend us didn't. Mm. And I lost who I was. I had found my identity and value and worth in so many things that were now no longer there. And I don't think my husband was able to recognize me. My friends and family weren't hearing from me. I was a shell of who I once was. And I became disconnected from myself and disconnected from God. You know, sometimes we make the decision to give our lives to Jesus, but there are things that happen throughout our lives that cause us to carry weights we weren't meant to carry. And I needed to fight for my life. I got a phone call from a new friend I had made on the road who felt God put me on her heart. And she called me while I was in this state of defeat, like you mentioned, on my couch, on autopilot for weeks. And she called me and she said this to me. She said, trials have the power to transform you from who you are into who you long to be. But somewhere along the way, we learned the lie that we could be heroes without ever engaging in a battle. Hmm. And she called me and encouraged me to get up from my couch and to start a fight for my life. And the truth is that the fight for my life looked like fighting for my schedule. It looked like fighting for my structure to say, okay, how am I going to engage in God's word to see what God says about me? How am I going to fight for time to pray? How am I going to fight for time to rest and fight for time for real community? Because I'm not going to find healing and wholeness on autopilot. Healing and wholeness is not going to fall in my lap. I need to engage for the battle for my life. And as I engaged in God's words in a new way, in a fresh way, took off the pressure for it to look like anybody else's time in the word of God, I started memorizing names that God said about me, names that God calls me in the Word of God. And from that is when I wrote the spoken word piece, I Have a New Name, which was a spoken word at the time that was personal. And now other people hear it, but at the time it was me memorizing names that God called me to declare who I was. And I just want to encourage anybody listening today. We heard a lot of names earlier of the names that you heard that are not from God. But if you have engaged in God's word recently, if you have perhaps forgotten who you are, I want to remind you of 9 names that God calls you, 9 things that are true of you that you would read about when you read God's word. And maybe as I say these 9 names to you, the one you know you need to answer to, the one you need to declare, maybe you can send that name in, type that name in, let people know what name you want to answer to. But this is who you really are. This is what I needed to know then that I need to be reminded every day. John 15:15, he calls you his friend. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, he calls you chosen. Ephesians 2:10, he calls you his masterpiece. He calls you his art. He calls you handmade. He calls you purpose and fashion for good things. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he calls your body a temple. He calls it the residence of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, he calls you his messenger to the world. Galatians 3:26, he calls you his child. Romans 5:8, he calls you greatly loved. John 8:36, he calls you free. Free indeed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he calls you brand new. And it's amazing how different these names are from some of the names that we're answering to. So I will say for me in that season, I had to fight for my life by fighting for my schedule. And also it became me realizing who I really was by engaging with God's word, implementing these rhythms. It wasn't enough to just say it out loud, though that was a good start. But I had to start living out that kind of life, living out the rhythms. What you think about yourself determines how you live. So when you know who you are, it changes how you live.
Come on. Well, tell me again what your new friend said to you. Those were some powerful words, and I just want to remember them.
Yeah, she said, trials have the power to transform you from who you are into who you long to be. But somewhere along the way, we learned the lie that we could be heroes without ever engaging in a battle.
Wow, that's just powerful. Wow. And here you write this, I was hoping that I could be healed and whole without getting off my couch and engaging in the battle. I did a live the other day, a Facebook live, on the whole idea of apathy and passivity that sometimes passes for meekness and mildness, and yet they're two different sources. And I long to see passivity and apathy extracted from the body of Christ, because it's such a thief, isn't it? Where, you know, we can get into those places of apathy and we just shrug our shoulders. And as you say, hope that, you know, the victory just lands on our doorstep, but we are in a battle and we need to engage. So, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
I think the fight for your life might look like fighting for your schedule, fight to spend real time with God. You deserve to stop seeing yourself through the broken lens of other people. When you start seeing yourself through the lens of God, you will discover who you really are and who you've always been. And the truth is that you were loved and wanted and valuable all along.
All along. I got to tell you, friends, that Hosanna and I, we're going to be together at the Thrive Conference coming up in October, October 6th and 7th. I know we've got listeners from around the world and even around the country, but if you can come in, this is an epic conference. It's Rochester, Minnesota. Mark your calendars, October 6th and 7th. It's going to be powerful. And Annie Downs will also be there. Bianca Oldhoff will be there. It's going to be a great lineup. And I'll get to meet you face to face, Hosanna. I really appreciate that.
I can't wait. I love meeting people in 3D.
Come on, me too. Well, we just got about a minute and a half left, and I would love to know what do you know about God now that you didn't know as well 5 to 10 years ago?
I would say right now what I'm learning in this season of my life is back to the trellis analogy. There are times when we might feel disconnected from God or disconnected from ourselves, but it might not be because you are far from God. It might be because when you grow fruit and you carry new weights, the old structure that used to be able to hold you up can't hold you up anymore. And for me and my husband, we've been praying that God would grow our capacity and enlarge our territory. And with that, in doing more with our families and our communities and our ministries, I know that the structure that has held me up in the past won't be able to hold us up today. And so as you grow and you flourish and you bear more fruit and you're carrying greater weights, know that you will need a stronger trellis, a stronger structure, a wider structure so that you can flourish and stay connected to Jesus. So that's the season that we're in right now. We're learning about God, that our relationship with him today doesn't need to look like how it did 10 years ago, but God wants a fresh encounter with us. And there might be a new way, a new structure to help us flourish today.
Exactly where my hubby and I are at as well. What a good, good word. And based on all the texts that came in, I know your heart was encouraged today. Keep contending, keep fighting, identifying those lies and those banners and pull them off and walk free. Live the abiding life. Develop a rich relationship with God's word, with his presence in prayer and in community. You'll be glad you did. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.